the film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, February the 28th, 2024. I don't think there's any days left in this month.
Sure is.
Tomorrow.
Leap year.
Well, let me introduce this distinguished panel here who knows, they know stuff.
Huh? Do know stuff.
Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Yeah, good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred, I know stuff Jackson.
Stuff
here.
Yeah. I'm full of stuff.
That's what some people say, Fred. They say it behind your back.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. Let's get it out there.
So leap year, right?
It is leap year. Yeah. So if you were born on the 29th of February,
you got a birthday.
This is a big year.
Yeah. It's what do people do who were born on the 29th of February? Do they celebrate it on the 28th? Or
they're depressed for 3 years.
That's right. They don't get their birthdays.
Or they just don't count it.
Probably up to them.
Kind of like dog years.
There are ladies who would say.
Every 4 years you count it?
That's right.
Yeah.
I am only a fourth of my actual age.
It is a good joke because the first time I heard that in back in middle school or elementary school, they said, how is it? They're 2 years old.
Yeah. What?
And then, of course, they literally were accurate, right? Yeah. I mean, if they were born on the 29th, and the 29th only happens every couple of years.
Yeah, they only had one fourth of the birthdays.
That's right. Yeah. There you go.
I guess the best way to remember that, if you care to remember it, is it's every 4 years on the same years we have a presidential election, right?
True.
29. That's fair.
That's right. Now, see, you know stuff too.
I know stuff.
Wow.
I've got a.
You heard the silence of all there. Wow.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
It was impressive.
Somebody gave me a golf mug. I mean, excuse me, a coffee cup that I keep in my office. And on the coffee cup, it says, I golf and I know stuff.
There you go.
I golf and I know stuff. That's
not a bad calling in life.
That's what I do.
And that golf coffee cup stays in the office.
Yes, it's in there just to let everybody know who comes in.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on this program on this Wednesday, February the 28th, 2024. Again, it's the last day of February. No, one more day.
Yep.
February left. In this month, leap year month. All right, Fred, what's leading the news out there?
Well, big news, especially for the Texas Panhandle. We've got dozens and dozens of wildfires in the Texas Panhandle. The Republican governor there, Greg Abbott, has issued a disaster declaration for 60 counties. The largest blaze being reported is the Smokehouse Creek Fire, which has already burned nearly 470 square miles. Mm. That, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service, there are thousands of people that are being left without power. It's also resulted in the forcing of the brief shutdown of a nuclear weapons facility. As those strong winds, we've been talking about the temperatures. I think it was Killeen, Texas, yesterday reached 100 degrees. That is an all-time record. Dallas was like 91. Yesterday. I think we here in Mississippi, over 80 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Killeen, Texas,
it's time, you know, I hate to say this, it's time to move. I know that's impractical for people, but that's where Fort Hood is and
that's
near
correct.
Waco.
Yes.
That area is 100 degrees. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, my daughter was telling me, my son-in-law used to be based there when he was in the Army, so they keep an eye on those things. But, yeah, they reached triple digits yesterday.
Well, those fires, I looked at where those fires were because we have a number of radio stations in the Texas Panhandle, Amarillo, Borger, Pampa, Dumas. Those fires, most of those fires are north. It looked like to me they were northeast of Amarillo.
Correct.
You know, a lot of cattlemen there.
Yep.
A lot of farming, yes. Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about oil fields, so maybe there are.
Wonder what they're doing to try to.
The winds are so bad.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, God is intervening because there's cooler weather and rain. We experienced this front that went through our area this morning.
Yeah.
And
sure.
So cooler temperatures in behind, so it's wetting down. So that's helping out a little bit.
Also, having traveled in that part of the country some, I just don't remember much greenery. I don't remember many trees, so I don't know what if that matters, you know, in terms of forest fires. But maybe there are north of Amarillo more trees than I remember.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, it's a, you know, you read about these wildfires out west. That's where they mostly occur, and the way these things move so fast that you know you look over there and you say, well, that's 10 miles from me. Well, you go inside your house, you come back out, it's 5 miles from you. But these things move so fast. That's why they're so dangerous, especially out in California. And
well, I'm sure we've all seen videos from various fires out west where people are trying to escape.
Right.
Have you ever seen these where they're driving?
Terrifying.
There's fire on both sides of the road, fire in the road, and there, and you know all the smoke that goes. Those things are. That's like.
Well, look what happened in Maui. You know, the winds can make fires move at, speeds. You have to record.
I've done a control fire before, a control burn, and when you're doing a control burn, the one of the first things that you're taught is to look at the wind, and because the wind has a huge impact on how the fire, the outcome of the fire.
Right.
Well, that's in a control fire, so you're able to do it or not do it based on the wind.
Right.
Well, when a wildfire happens like this, it's completely out of your hands, and in the event that it's going in the wrong direction, there's no stopping it.
Yeah, and because how do you even fight it?
Yeah.
When it's going with them. But anyway,
it's pretty scary.
That's a big national story there in the Texas Panhandle.
So we need to be praying for those that are being affected by it too.
Yes, as I say, we have a lot of listeners in the Texas Panhandle. Next story, Fred.
All right, it has now been confirmed President Joe Biden is undergoing his annual physical examination at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. A lot of people are very anxious to hear the report coming out of there.
Are you anxious, Ed?
I'm not.
Okay. I'm checking.
Well, this comes, let us not forget, just a short time after the recent special counsel's report investigating Biden's possession of classified documents. Remember what that special counsel had to say about the president's memory, calling it hazy, fuzzy, faulty, poor, and having significant limitations. Now, the special counsel is not a doctor, as Democrats were quick to point out, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, a year ago, the doctors at Walter Reed said Biden was healthy, vigorous, and fit, and ready to handle the White House duties. So, my prediction is the report will be good for the president. That's my prediction.
Well,
you mean that's what they're going to report?
That's I emphasize that.
Okay.
The report.
This is one of those things. Physically, I'm talking about arms, legs, organs, all that stuff. He looks okay to me for an 80. What is he? 80?
81.
81
year old man. I mean, he does shuffle. But a lot of people shuffle when they
trip upstairs.
He trips upstairs. Oh, I got you. Yeah, the films have been going up airplanes.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, Tim does that.
I know. That's why.
And I'm 60.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really bother me.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. And make fun of old people, Wesley. Go ahead.
The video was hilarious. So you say what you want.
Yeah, I know. It is funny. Stumbling up the steps.
Most of the time, it's got the
he
music
didn't hurt
in the
himself.
Background.
But you know what, Fred, they can come out and say he's perfectly fine mentally if they want to from a cognitive test that they give at the Walter Reed Hospital today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the American people see it for themselves. They don't need a test to tell them what's going on with Biden. He's on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, and his memory is foggy. It's just like this special prosecutor said in his report.
Yeah,
and everybody sees that and knows that. it's almost daily.
Yes,
that he can't read a teleprompter. He forgets where he is. He doesn't know how to get off the stage. These things are going on with. Now he'll have good days and bad days. He'll have some good days, some good moments. But overall, the trend is for him, he's in mental decline. Whether he has officially has dementia or not,
yes,
I don't know, but he certainly has the signs of it.
Well, and the issue is he is aging, and so we expect those things, but he happens to be holding the most powerful office in the world.
True.
That's the issue
he
here.
He carries the nuclear football.
Yep.
That's right.
Know, around him.
Yep.
So, yeah, absolutely. That is a major concern, not only for Republicans, for Democrats.
Growing number of Democrats, very concerned.
Are worried about this. Was it Buck from Colorado, the congressman's introducing a I don't know what you call it, resolution.
Was it Article 25?
This is not the impeachment.
This is remove them because they're incapable of doing the job.
Yes.
Wow.
Mentally.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Isn't that the 25th Amendment?
25th Amendment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that can be the, it can't be done by, solely by Congress. I think.
No.
It would have to be a number of members of
there
his.
There is a protocol for this, right, because I remember hearing about it when Trump was in office. President Trump was in office, and they were talking about, you know, in his last days, some people thought.
It has to be led by the vice president, though. So
it does?
That's not going to happen.
Do you know that?
It has the 25th Amendment enables the cabinet led by vice president.
The cabinet. Okay, those closest around president leader in the president, not necessarily the congressional leadership.
That's right.
So they could have to
remove the president from their duties if they determine that they are unable.
Well, you're right. That's never going to happen.
Nope.
Huh?
Vice president along with a majority of the cabinet would have to. So a majority of the cabinet, I'm not even sure how they figure that, because they've added, you know, cabinet members, you know, so I don't know, but majority of the cabinet.
So you're telling me Kamala Harris.
Yes.
She has to round up the group to kick out Biden. Is that how this works?
That's kind of a strange setup, isn't it? Because the vice president would then assume the duties. Right.
I don't think they would take her very seriously.
It could be self-serving.
Though.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, he likes a self-serving.
Well, somehow.
You're talking about soft-serve.
Soft-serve. My bad. But you can get some places to self-serve.
Yeah, you can.
Self-serve is a soft-serve. You know what I'm saying?
It happens every time I'm at Walmart.
And Biden loves that. All right, Fred. Well, we hope that Biden checks out okay.
All right.
But I'm just telling you that a lot of Americans already know he's checked out.
Yes.
Yep.
See what I did there?
Yes.
In other words, you're saying the American people, by and large, aren't going to believe whatever's said.
That's right.
If someone's trying to convince the American people that he's got all his mental faculties. Chuck Schumer came out
the other day and said, or was it Chuck Schumer?
No, it was Gavin Newsom.
Said he's sharp as ever.
Yeah. Well, Gavin Newsom said.
I said Biden's sharp as ever.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He said it too.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for him. He's sharp.
Gavin Newsom said, I revere.
I revere.
Yes. I revere him.
And his age is an asset.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I got news for you. Ain't nobody believing you.
Right.
No.
Ain't no.
Ain't
that's
no.
That's one word. Ain't nobody believing you.
That doesn't help Gavin Newsom's credibility.
Right. Yeah.
You mean he had some?
Yeah. All right, Fred, next story.
All right. While President Biden is at Walter Reed, his son, Hunter Biden, is behind closed doors this morning.
That's not ever good.
will we ever know?
Hunter Biden's behind closed doors. He's just going to be on a laptop somewhere soon. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, everyone was thinking it.
Yeah. The laptop may come up during this hearing this morning. This hearing that, of course, is run by the Republicans. This is a closed door deposition, and this has to deal with the ongoing procedures with regards to the
pay to play
Republican wish to impeach the president.
Right.
All right,
gotcha.
So he is being called in.
Why is he cooperating?
Why is he cooperating? Well, he's been subpoenaed.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he's cooperating, but he has to.
Yes.
Respond to the subpoena.
And he may plead the fifth on a lot of the questions that are being asked because he is indicted on some charges. So that's ongoing. That's some of the speculation. But anyway, Congressman Jim Jordan is part of the examining team for the Republicans today, And, you know, he's going to make the argument, Jim Jordan and others, that Joe Biden was intimately involved in Hunter's business deal. Here's cut number five.
There's a pattern with the Biden family. Hunter Biden goes out and tries to get business, but the agreements and the deals never get done until Joe Biden shows up, either on a phone call, stopping by a lunch, dropping by a dinner. That's when these things happen. And this Chinese energy company is a great example. He'd been working on this deal for months, but it wasn't until they're having a lunch at the Four Seasons restaurant, eight Chinese officials there with Hunter Biden and his business partners, that Joe Biden stops in. And then 3 weeks later, shazam, here comes $3 million wired to Hunter Biden.
Yeah, and the other point that some people are making is that the current president, Joe Biden, is a multi-millionaire. And he owns properties that are worth millions of dollars. And a lot of people want to know, he's a career politician.
Right.
Been a senator, been a vice president. So they want to know, where did you get your millions of dollars?
Well, he talks to Nancy Pelosi and finds out how the stocks are going to go.
Yes.
That's how you make a killing.
Yeah, but Nancy's not involved. It's really her husband, Tim.
Yeah, her husband. He's in government. She
would never communicate, in other words, with her husband
right.
and tell him where to invest.
Right. No.
Yeah.
This is another thing that's kind of baked in, I think, with the American, most Americans. And that is Hunter Biden was killing it when his dad was vice president on things he knew nothing about around the world, but foreign governments were paying him and companies were paying him money to gain influence, gain access to his dad, who was a vice president at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all these White House logs show Hunter Biden's business partners visiting the White House many, many times,
yes,
right? That's
yes.
that's not a secret.
Yes.
Burisma in Ukraine paying Hunter Biden all that money when he had no knowledge of gas the business, just sit on the board there. So, you know, I don't know if they'll ever be able to document a money trail that went directly to the bank account of, I think that's what the Republicans are trying to do, and this is the reason for interviewing Hunter Biden. But all that's very shady.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of people think, whether you can prove it or not, the Biden family made a lot of money when he was vice president on business deals around the world.
Yeah.
That's the reason Hunter Biden went to China on Air Force Two, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He flew with his dad, and then he had business meetings over there while his dad was vice president.
Look, I think if the Biden family, I'm just saying this because there needs to be a modicum of, you know, of legitimacy on our part as journalists. Okay, we can't be biased, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, if the Biden family is corrupt to the core, if the Biden family is corrupt to the core, then unless they're the gang that couldn't shoot straight, they covered their tracks, and the Republicans would have to rely on someone big. He already had Hunter Biden's former business partner, okay, saying, look, the big guy was the vice president, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have someone like Hunter Biden come out and say, yeah, I was pay to play. I was killing it. My dad got 10% of everything. I'm testifying under
oath. The big guy.
He's the big guy. And Hunter Biden's not going to do that. So the Republicans have to do their due diligence. They have to try. But unless the Biden family, if they're corrupt, were all idiots,
all right,
they covered their tracks, and it's going to be very difficult to prove it.
Wesley Wellman.
Yes.
You're my oldest son. I don't want to know about your business.
Dealings with China. Dealings
and you have no China. Idea.
I'm just telling you, I want the 10%. Okay,
but
I'm the big guy.
You're the big guy. That's what I was going to ask. You're the big guy.
Okay, because no, what do you think about?
Well, I was looking at a couple of things here just to bring us back to January 10th, and that's January 10th. He was subpoenaed and he didn't show the first time. And if you remember, he also stormed in the Capitol by surprise, and he had his montage of people that was
entourage.
Entourage.
Which made up a montage.
That's right. An entourage of people and reporters and people that were on his staff that was helping him produce his documentary that shares his side of the story, air quotes.
Yeah.
And so, but then all of a sudden now we're willing to comply after we've got the footage we need that shows that he's being attacked.
This isn't going to phase Republican or Democrat vote. It's not going to phase Democrat voters no more than any of Trump's legal troubles are going to phase Republican voters for the most part. People are just considering it politics but now criminally speaking, if they could find a smoking gun, the Republicans, about a money trail that went to the bank account of Hunter Biden, then excuse me, of Joe Biden, that would be. That potentially could be something legal, but you're talking months, and the election will already be over by the time this rolls around. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Anyway, Fred, we didn't give you a chance to weigh in.
No. I'm just anxious to see what comes out of it today.
If it's behind closed doors, how are we going to know?
Well, we can trust the Democrats coming out saying, ain't nothing here.
Okay.
You know, to Ed's point.
Okay.
But the other thing that, and we've talked a little bit about this, the informant the FBI used for years and years and years and trusted him, a guy who says that he had proof of $5 million going to Joe, and I find it very interesting the timing that now the FBI has turned against him, and he's sitting in a jail right now in Nevada.
Right.
I just find the timing of that because the FBI trusted him for years. He was mm-hmm. used by them for years and years mm-hmm. and years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they declare he's not trustworthy when it comes to the Bidens. And this just, of course, the mainstream media, it's almost a forgotten story at this point, other than this guy is sitting in a jail in Nevada at the moment.
You do reach a point, though, from a conservative Republican standpoint. We do, for me at least, I do want to see at some point soon some tangible things that they can charge him with.
Hunter, you mean?
Hunter.
Yeah.
Because for sake of priorities and what's important, I do want to see that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well,
yes. I'm not. I'll say that everything shows that he's unethical to say the least. But criminally is where either we need to do something criminally, charge him criminally, or.
Well, he is in trouble with, I'm talking Hunter Biden, he is in trouble with the IRS on tax evasion, right?
Right.
He's been indicted and
the gun license.
And the gun license.
He had a gun illegally while he was taking drugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was on video.
So he has some real problems illegally. But to your point, Wesley, in terms of paper play, proving it with the congressional hearings and so forth, that's yet to be nailed down, right?
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a time out right here. That's your cue, Adam. start the music. That's your cue.
We got a guest.
We got a guest coming up, Mark Bolt from Tennessee. One of those stories where God calls you to do something and you don't know how to do it exactly. But the Lord leads. We're going to talk to Mark Bolt about what's called classical Christian education, too, coming up in just a few minutes on the program. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net is the email address for us. Here, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Two words can make a tremendous difference in the life of an individual. Those two words are very small and very simple words. Keep trying. When we hit an obstacle in life, when life becomes hard and difficult, as it often does, we need to remember and practice those two words. As long as we keep trying, we are giving God a chance to help. There's an old proverb which goes something like this: God helps those who help themselves. And you can be certain that He does. God wants our best dreams, our highest ambitions to come true. In one sense of the word, God is on our side. I am with you to the end, Jesus said. That means we never have to face life alone. As long as we keep trying, we can be assured of God's help. This means trying in the midst of failure and despair. Edmund Burke, the British statesman, put it this way: never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Keep trying. Work on in despair. And you know, as long as you keep trying, you keep hope alive within you. A person never loses hope until he quits trying. Hope is one of the most priceless and precious qualities one can have. Hope means believing and trusting and working. Hope is a positive attitude. A man by the name of Hickson once wrote, "If at first you don't succeed, try, try again." Life is much more enjoyable when you believe the best and work for the highest. When you give in or give up, hope dies. But it lives as long as you keep trying. Then remember also that as long as you keep trying, you have a chance to reach your goal. When you quit, that chance is gone. A very important sentence found in the book of books goes like this: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Many a thing that couldn't be done has been done because one person kept trying. He kept at it, giving God a chance to help and keeping hope alive inside himself. A minister was once asked to define perseverance. He gave a quite complete definition. It means, first, to take hold; second, to hold on; third and last, to never let go. Well, it's a pretty good prescription for the faint of heart to use. Two lines from the poet's pen put it this way: so stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. From experience, I know it to be true. The ability to keep trying is a very valuable virtue. The next time life deals a crushing blow, and it will, stand on your feet and go at it again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Life can never defeat a person whose mind and heart are saturated with the power of that phrase. Think on it, believe it, and keep trying. You will make it if you do.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Ephesians 1:11.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We appreciate you. You can join us on, Ed, tell them if they want to join us on that.
On their internet?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, there are three ways for you to watch the live video stream.
Number one.
Of this show. You can go to Facebook, search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube, search for Today's Issues Live.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube, you have to type in Today's Issues Live, right?
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. If you do not have access to a terrestrial radio station, you can listen to American Family Radio either at afr.net. We have a live audio stream of all our programming, or you can download
the AFR app and listen anywhere you have a good signal.
The AFR app has been a game changer for us because we have tens of thousands, hundreds, how many people, a lot more than that.
The last number I saw was around 60,000 have downloaded the AFR app.
Right.
There's your number. Around 60,000 have downloaded it.
So get the AFR app, and then you can listen to our radio network anywhere you go as long as you have high-speed internet service. So
24/7.
Yes, 24/7. So tell other people about it, if you would. That would be very helpful to us. The American Family Radio app, check it out. Use it. And we also have podcasts. So any of our shows that you don't hear live but you want to go back and listen to, just go to AFR.net, AFR.net.
Those are also on the app.
Yeah.
The podcast, everything. The app is an extension of our AFR.net.
Right.
So it's all there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, has God ever called you to do something and then you act like Moses? Not capable of doing this, Lord.
Right. You should pick someone else.
I really don't want to.
Right. And then go further to the list of the reasons why you can't.
Yes.
But God won't leave you alone. Right. And Mark Bolt he shared with our staff here this morning at American Family Association in our Wednesday morning staff meeting. He's from Tennessee. Good morning, Brother Mark.
Good morning.
Where are you from in Tennessee now?
Well, Chapel Hill, which is maybe about 40 miles south of Nashville.
Right.
Little dinky community.
How long have you lived there?
Coming up on 5 years. We were in Franklin. We wanted to get away from the traffic and traffic lights.
Nashville keeps pushing out and pushing out and pushing out. Huh? Franklin was a little sleepy town.
It was.
South of Nashville, but now, I guess, the city sprawling.
It is. And, you know, even since we moved to Chapel Hill, I think 1,000 people have followed us there.
Well, you're not following you personally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you kind of are like Moses then.
Yeah.
In a way, think about that.
Yeah.
People are following you to where you live there. So it's a little town 40 miles south of, and what's your profession?
My profession actually is in financial services.
I mean, like Christian, Islam.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your profession is in financial services?
Yes.
You've been in that?
All my life.
How old are you now?
Still doing that. You know, I read somewhere, or somebody told me, there's nothing in Scripture about retiring. So I'm going to follow that part and not retire.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you're right. I mean, a lot of people don't want to retire because they have nothing to do.
Correct.
Yeah, there's nothing in there about retiring, but that does not mean you can't stop working at your job and then do something else.
Right.
Like somebody's going to watch the neighborhood, you know. So
why not an Italian?
It's right.
Why not let the fox guard the hen house?
Yeah, Italian with a baseball bat. That's a country song.
But it is true. If and when the Lord allows me to live long enough to get to retirement age,
I still want to do something productive.
I'm going to still do something productive.
Yeah,
and you know, one of the things I've actually thought about doing is teaching. Volunteer teaching, because education's important.
Well,
right?
That's
why we wanted to talk to you, Mark.
And actually, we might have a position open for you. It's only about a 3-hour drive. I think you could get that in every day.
Well, yeah, my wife would say, go ahead. I'm staying with our grandkids.
Mark, you're starting a what's called a classical Christian school in your community.
Classical Christian school, correct.
Classical Christian school. Okay, this is where we get to the part where you're in your, what are you? Are you 70 yet?
60? Yeah, yeah, I am 70 yet. Absolutely.
You're 70 years old. Yeah. So your children are grown and gone.
Yeah.
You have a couple grand. How many? Children?
I've got 3 grandkids that are 20 and older, and a 2 and a 4-year-old.
Okay, so you should be if you're going to still work, you should be going to the lake. Maybe every day or what, I don't know, enjoying your leisure time, right? You're not so much pressure on you at this point in life. And yet, something happened to you in the last year, couple of years, 3 years, I don't know when exactly, that gave you this driving purpose to found this classical Christian school in your community. What happened to you?
Yeah, actually, I was visiting with my son, who's a my son Jason, who's a principal at a Christian school in Billings, Montana, And he had this quote up on his wall from Martin Luther. And if I can just read the first sentence of it, which says, "I'm much afraid that the schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of youth." So anyway, as I'm looking at that and I'm talking to my son, I thought, wow, that's exactly where we are in public education. Some places not as much as others, but still. And so it's like, so, I mean, what could I do about that? Can I do something about that? And who is doing something about that? And a lot of people are, but it was kind of like, maybe I can do something about that, which kind of started me in that thought process, what it would take, what it would look like to actually start a school.
So you came back home from, you read that quote. That was a seminal moment for you.
Correct.
I mean, I read this quote from Martin Luther from when it was
500 years ago.
And then that's sort of taken over your world.
Well, pretty much have. I mean, you know, like you already referenced, I mean, I do work full time. So in my spare time, right. I've started working on putting this school together. And we've had some help with some other volunteers and a lot of direction and influence from the Association of Classical Christian Schools, which we're a member of. But we're not only starting a school, but we're also starting a business.
What's the name of the school?
The name of the school is Philos Classical Christian School.
Going to be located where?
Be located in Chapel Hill at the Way Church.
What is classical Christian?
What is classical Christian
education? I know what classical music is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
here's the bullet point definition: an education that guides your children to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and the truth of God. So we all know that God is the center of everything. We talked about the stars and everything. God is the center of everything. We have math and science and literature because of God. God is in everything. So everything is taught through the lens of God is the creator of everything. And all subjects are interconnected as a result of that. And at the end of the day, the end result is that kids will be able to make decisions based on a biblical worldview through a thought process that taught them how to think as opposed to what to think from a cultural worldview.
Mm. Well, we only have you for a few minutes here, Mark. We certainly enjoyed you being in our devotion, explaining the journey that you were on. So for people who are listening and who are thinking right now, wow, what Mark thought and what he did, that's what I want to do. What would you say to encourage them to begin the process of trying to bring Christian education to their small town?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And part of what we're doing with our March 12th event is just to get that information out there.
Tell us about the event.
So the event is it's our kickoff event to kind of highlight the school, classical Christian education. We have Pete Hegseth from Fox and Friends Weekends, who's going to be there, who wrote the book Battle for the American Mind. And
he's going to be speaking. He'll
be our featured speaker. Correct.
So if I come there, I can meet him.
You can
talk to him.
You can. I'll let you meet him.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. You can meet him. You can
not
hear
just
what he
me,
has
but
to
if
say.
People want to register and come.
Correct.
We live in Tennessee.
But we'd love to have anybody show up and hear what he has to say. Tickets you can get online through the website.
What website?
Philos Classical Christian. .org. Philos is P-H-I-L-O-S. And
you better give that again.
Okay. Philos, P-H-I-L-O-S, classicalchristian.org.
We can also put that link on the Facebook page.
You did on our today's
issue? I did not, but somebody will.
Somebody could.
Okay. Somebody up here will get it done.
Okay, but somebody up here get it done. Adam.
Adam is moving right to that.
Adam, our producer.
I was eyeballing him when I said that.
So the website is Philos, P-H-I-L-O-S, classicalchristian.org.
Correct.
And the event will be March 12th.
March 12th.
Open to the public. Who will the speaker be again?
The speaker, Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's well known on Fox News.
Yeah, he's a strong supporter and advocate of classical Christian education. His kids go to classical Christian schools. He talks about in his book, and what he's going to talk about there is how education got to where it is. And his solution is if you don't like public schools, take your kids out and put them into a classical Christian school.
How do you make that affordable for a lot of people?
Yeah, that is part of the challenge. We do hope to be able to raise enough money to help offset some of that tuition, but it's a huge commitment. I mean, it truly is. Yeah. You know, you've got to really believe in the cause and want the best for your kids.
I apologize for that sneeze in everyone's ear.
You didn't reach the cough button.
It happened so quickly.
It was the kind of thing, if I reach for the cough button, I will sneeze toward you.
Right.
And so I wanted to turn away and then couldn't find the cough button.
But made you unable to find the cough button.
I apologize.
It happens. You know, the interesting thing here about what you're describing, Mark, as classical Christian education, guess what that was? That was public education in America.
Years ago.
For 100 150, because I, you know, the McGuffey reader, I mean, we could go back, kids in America, up until probably 40 years ago, at least, were instructed, when they went to school in biblical truth in all kinds of various and different ways. And certainly Christian morality was promoted, right and wrong. I remember, you know, I'm 60, so I remember us having Bible reading and prayer.
Yeah.
Over the intercom. You know, when I was a kid, and
teacher challenging you to memorize Bible verses.
Right.
Concerned about your spiritual growth.
Right. And science was taught in light of the Bible. You know, the biblical world and by the light of God. So
it's been a process to change away from that with a totally different agenda. Which is really not to educate.
Who's the father of that? Some people say.
Well, Dewey would be one of them. Yeah. There's a number of them. I always thought of Dewey as the Dewey Decimal System, but it was a much bigger, much bigger agenda than that.
Yeah.
To start that process.
When I was growing up in New England,
Massachusetts,
the Boston area, and then New Hampshire, which you just described, I never heard any Bible. No prayers to start the day.
But you went to Catholic school.
No, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school.
Okay, but before that.
But before that, in public schools. I was in public school up until high school, but nobody prayed, and nobody mentioned
the Bible. Well, maybe that was just the Bible Belt.
That's what I'm saying. Agenda.
In my school in the late 60s, 70s, In Canada. Our principal took the whole school to see the Ten Commandments.
Oh, wow. Maybe.
Yeah. We went to a theater. They took us all to see the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, today, that would never happen.
No. Mm-mm.
I know you have somebody named Matthew and Mark in your class, and the ACLU goes to court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Better change the pronouns.
Change the names of those people. It's too much like the Gospels. Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, thanks for being with us, my friend. Thank you for listening to what God had. Thank you for listening and saying yes to what God has called you to do, which may, you know, you may be gone 10, 20, 30 years from now, but the school will go on.
We'll live on.
That God called you, even though you have no personal vested interest, because I'm talking about your children or grandchildren aren't going to.
Right.
Go there.
Yep. We just see a need and a cause, and you know, when God calls you to do something, you just do that.
And you were talking this morning about Moses, the story of Moses.
Right.
You read that, and what Moses say to God?
Yeah, pick someone else. Not me. I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy.
I'm not articulate.
Yeah. No, I'm not articulate. I might be able to articulate. I'm not sure, but a lot of other things, maybe not so much.
Okay, so what is your website? When is the event? Who's going to be there? If people want to drive. Again, we have a lot of stations in the central Tennessee area.
The website is Philos Classical Christian, Philos, philosclassicalchristian.org. It's March 12th at Rory Feek's Homestead Hall in Columbia. And March 12th.
In Columbia,
On Highway 431. And we do require tickets. The main event is free. If you want to meet with Pete, have your picture made. There's we're charging for that because he'll try to cover some of those costs.
So what is it, the gentleman Pete from
Pete Hegseth?
Yes,
Pete
Hegseth. Everybody's familiar with him.
Fox and Friends weekends. He does a lot of other shows too.
He's a war hero.
War veteran, strong Christian, and a strong advocate of classical Christian education.
Yeah. Nice hair. Yeah. We can appreciate that, can't we, Mark?
Very enthusiastic, passionate guy. Yeah. Appreciate that comment, by the way. So,
hey, let me take off my hat, brother. We're kindred spirits
there you go.
Right here.
Yeah. And it's great, too.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Mark Bolt from Central Tennessee joins us there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, next story.
All right. Well, we had the primaries in Michigan last night. No big surprise. On the Democrat side, Biden won handily. And, of course, on the Republican side, Trump as well. The spread between Trump and Nikki Haley was something like 40% in that.
So 70-30,
I think that's
it's close to it. 68.
28. 68 and change, 28 and change. Trump didn't hold a party in person there last night, but he did speak to supporters by phone, and this is what he had to say. Cut one.
We're going to make America great again, greater than ever before, and I just want to thank everybody. You've been incredible, and I'm so proud of the results because they're far greater than anticipated.
And Nikki Haley did tell supporters that she's still in the game. Cut two.
We had 14 people in the race. I defeated a dozen of the fellas. I just got one more fella I got to catch up to.
Yeah, trying to sound optimistic there.
Is this too critical? She didn't defeat them. They just decided to drop out because they saw that Trump was the ticket.
Well, she didn't defeat them. Trump did.
Yes.
But she's not going to say that.
Right.
Well, I say Trump did. Yes, a lot of them dropped out because they just didn't have support. They didn't have money.
The reason I bring that up is because there were several people in there that had better numbers than she had when they dropped out.
Yeah. Governor Ron DeSantis had better numbers but he dropped out because he had no path. He said
she was third for the most part. Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy, a name I have not been privileged to say in a while, but he was kind of in fourth.
You said it well.
Yes,
he's auditioning for VP now.
You practice that one.
I just like saying it, Ramaswamy. It sounds like it should be a name of a sandwich down at Subway.
That's it, Ramaswamy.
I'll take the Ramaswamy with the Italian bread and cheese.
Toasted.
Okay.
So how long will Nikki Haley go on with if she doesn't get a win somewhere?
Well, next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, March 5th, is Super Tuesday.
Okay.
You've got at least 12 states, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, a bunch of others. Apparently, she's going to Utah today to do some campaigning. But if she loses the vast majority, if not all of those, then I think most people just say numbers alone, her support dries up. Who wants to invest in anybody after that?
I think money is going to be the big factor for her.
Yes.
But if she is able to continue campaigning, here's because of the legal issues that President Trump is facing. Mm-hmm. I think she may be thinking, I'm going to go run the whole route, the whole primary / caucus route, right up to the convention. If Trump somehow cannot be the nominee, I'm second in delegates.
Right.
Pick me.
Yeah.
Right.
But she's got to have money, to your point, Fred. She's got to have money coming in to allow her to stay in, because you can't just run in these primaries from your home. You've got to have.
Let me ask you this question. Should it concern President Trump and his team that it's turning out that 30-40% of Republican voters don't want him?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because if she wasn't on the ticket, then I think many of them would have voted. I think some of them would have voted for her. I don't think you.
I'm just asking a question for a friend.
Just short answer.
I agree with Wesley.
No.
I don't think it concerns them because the primary. If you're not dealing with an incumbent like Joe Biden, and I know a lot of people in the Republican Party think of President Trump as being an incumbent, but technically he's not, right? So if you're not an incumbent, you are commonly, for both parties, running against other people, and that will divide voters. I remember Ronald Reagan when he first ran for president for the Republican nomination in 1976. He came very close to beating Gerald Ford. I mean, it was probably 55-45 in terms of the votes. He came very close to getting enough delegates. But then after the nominee is decided upon, then you have a lot of those people who voted for a competitor coming in behind, and I think that's what will happen to President Trump.
And there's different ways you can look at the numbers here, but another way you look at it is the fact that everyone knew he was going to win. So think about all the Trump voters that just didn't vote that will vote in the primary against Joe Biden.
In the general?
In the general election against Joe Biden. Also, too, look at it like this. He won by 40%. I mean, so like, I mean, it's not, I don't even look at necessarily the fact that she got 28. I look at the fact he won by 40. If this was a 55-45, this discussion would be a little bit, I'm like, gotcha. Okay, I'm tracking with you. Also, too, we have yet to discuss the 70,000 individuals that went out of their way to ride
in Michigan.
In Michigan, that went out of their way They could have just stayed home, but instead they went to the polls to write, not committed to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Why was that, Fred?
Well, that's because there is a very large Arab, mostly Palestinian community, the largest Palestinian community in the country in Michigan, places like Dearborn, Hamtramck.
Suburbs of Detroit.
Yes. And their leader is Rashida Tlaib, and she's upset that Joe Biden hasn't pushed Israel strong enough to commence a ceasefire with regards to their war against Hamas in Gaza. So she was pleased with the turnout last night in the uncommitted vote. Cut number three.
I was proud today to walk in and pull a Democratic ballot and vote uncommitted. 74% of Democrats in Michigan support a ceasefire, yet President Biden is not hearing us. This is the way we can use our democracy to say, listen.
So, okay, I'm going to flip this question then. I'm going to ask the same question on the Democrat side. You guys said, when I say 30 to 40% of the people voted against Trump in the Republican primary, you guys say no sweat. Same here? These people who voted uncommitted and didn't vote for Biden, you think he should worry, his campaign should worry they won't vote for him?
No, I don't think they should worry when it gets to the general election they won't vote for him. But I think it's embarrassing the fact that they could have stayed home and just not voted, but they went up there and they wrote it in, not committed. I think
who should be embarrassed?
Joe Biden.
Well,
President Joe Biden.
I think these folks, these Palestinians in Michigan, are all in on the idea that Joe Biden is not doing enough for a ceasefire.
Right.
I mean, Rashida Tlaib, within 48 hours of the massacre on October 7th in Israel, was calling for Israel to get out of Gaza.
Right.
I mean, this is raison d'etre for her. This is her purpose right now. So I wouldn't be so sure, if there's no ceasefire by Election Day, whether a lot of those folks will not just I think they'll stay home. Mm. They are really upset.
And even risk allowing Donald Trump, if he gets the nomination, to win the general election.
That group of people.
That group of people is so passionate
Maybe
about
so,
their cause.
I see that, yeah.
They will stay home.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a very low turnout. Historically. Well, I'm talking about in the general election.
Yeah, both ways, yeah. I've said that before. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
I mean, there's just...
The opposite of 2020.
There are a lot of problems on both sides.
Yeah.
Most voters don't want a rerun.
They don't want either. They don't want either one of them. But you're going to have to choose.
Right.
We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.